Welcome to Vallejo Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, October 21st, 2018. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching today. Her message is Hope, Faith, and Trust. The New Testament lesson is from Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 25, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And the Old Testament lesson is taken from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and 15 through 17.
As we continue to look at Old Testament scriptures and the faith of our forefathers and foremothers, we look today at Abraham and Sarah. Hear this story as told to us through Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15 through 17, and then continuing in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. Certainly there are more things that have happened in Abraham and Sarah's journey, but here's kind of an overarch of some of what has happened to them. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who's 99 years old, bear a child? The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at a time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Here ends the reading. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of all the ages, of past, of present, and future, sometimes it's easier for us to see how you have been faithful to our mothers and fathers in faith. But today we come with our doubts, with our fears, with lots of things that we do not know. We pray, reveal to us your faithfulness throughout Scripture, and help us this day to respond with our own trust in you. Use my words and our time of reflection together to bring us into your will and your way. Amen. for Abraham and Sarah to have a baby was just plain inconceivable. Have you seen the movie The Princess Bride? So, if we got the computer to work, there's a character in The Princess Bride. His name is Vicini, and he is kind of the evil mercenary guy. And he kidnaps the princess, and in as they're running away, then there's this mysterious man in black who is chasing after them. And he doesn't think that the man in black will ever catch up with him. Let's see what he has to say about that.
Why are you doing that?
Making sure nobody's following us.
That would be inconceivable.
Despite what you think, you will be caught. And when you are, the prince will see you all hanged.
You're sure nobody's following us?
As I told you, it would be absolutely, totally, and in all other ways, inconceivable. No one in Gilder knows what we've done. And no one in Florin could have gotten here so fast.
He's climbing the rope. And he's gaining on us.
Inconceivable.
Faster!
I thought I was going faster.
That's very good arms.
He didn't fall? Inconceivable!
Look at his in the horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
You heard of me. Catch up with us quickly.
What do I do?
Finish him. Finish him. Your way.
Oh, good. My way. Thank you, Vincini. Which was my way?
Clearly.
If you write anything on your computer, you need to get grammar.
Okay, let's close that window out. There we go. I picture Abraham and Sarah saying, "We're going to have a baby? Inconceivable." Among the many people of the world, God had found this one man named Abram. And he pulled him aside and he said, You are my chosen one. Through you, I will create a great nation. And God promises Abram that his great-great-great-great-grandsons far into the future will be royalty. They will be kings. And when God promises this to Abram, what does Abram have to go on? Pretty much nothing. Pretty much just God's word. Is this God believable? Is this God trustworthy? Because you have to admit that Abram's present situation did not make it appear that he would be the ancestor of kings, for at this moment, he didn't even have one child, and he was 100 years old. I picture him saying, God, in order to have great-great-grandsons who will be kings, I need one son to carry on the family name. And given that I don't even have that, I'm not so sure of this. Oh, and by the way, my wife, Sarai, she's 99, past her childbearing years. We gave up hoping for a child a long, long time ago. We're old. Leave us alone. And even with God's word and God's promise right in front of him, in verse 17, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He's like, God, this is a knee slapper. What is this? For God's idea was indeed ludicrous, preposterous, and inconceivable. Abraham, I think, had some faith, but was not overbrimming with faith at that moment. But in time, the promise that God had made indeed comes to reality in Abram's life. That seemingly impossible, distant, unbelievable, inconceivable thing happens. And Sarai gives birth to a son. Abraham and Sarah give him the name Isaac, which means laughter. And Sarah, in the end, does give God the credit. God did this for me and with me, even in my old age. And so even with Abraham and Sarah's laughter, they are examples of faithfulness. And in fact, Abraham is lifted up by Paul in the letter to the Romans. Abraham's faith is described as hope against hope. His faith is described as having no distrust and as being fully convinced that God was able to do as he has promised. I kind of think that Paul is doing that thing where you look back in history and you go, those were the glory days. Because I think Abraham's laughter is not about 100% conviction. But certainly Paul looks back and sees how Abraham had continued in a path of faith, even when a ludicrous idea was in front of him. And Paul points out that it is this faith that is reckoned to him as righteousness. Okay, that's one of those weird biblical phrases, reckoned to him as righteousness. You don't hear that in your everyday conversations. What it means is that it is by Abram's faith in God that Abraham and God are being able to put in the right relationship with one another, that they can be close. It's by faith that that closeness and that relationship happens. That's all that means. Reckoned to him as righteousness. Yeah. Because Paul, in his time and his context, is arguing that the law and the rules are not what's going to bring you close to God. Those aren't the source of the connection. He refers back before Moses, before the law, back to Abraham, by reminding his readers and his hearers that indeed faith comes first. But it got me wondering this week, what is faith? And the sermon title, I wrote faith, hope, what did I write? Faith, hope, faith, and trust. Because it got me thinking that sometimes they're the same, but sometimes they're not quite the same. And it made me wonder how you understand faith as well. So we're going to do one of these talkback times. I've got a microphone. What is faith? What does it mean to have faith? We talk about it all the time. What does it mean? Start us off. What is faith?
Faith is believing without seeing proof.
Without seeing proof. Okay. So believing without seeing proof. Yeah.
Faith comes with wisdom, time, thought, knowledge, and searching.
So with that, I'm not hearing that faith is this simple, snappy, just have faith. It comes with a lot of other stuff. Yeah. Can we pass that down, please?
I would say that faith often seems unreal to others. It's inconceivable to many people it can't be proven necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. It can look really ridiculous to others. Yeah. What is faith?
I understand faith less as an emotion or a feeling and more as going on and proceeding as though what you have been assured is true. It's more, to me, it's less of an emotion or feeling, but more of just running your life as though there's more track for your train.
Is faith different than hope?
Yeah.
wasn't really ready to answer that one, but yeah,
okay.
No.
I think it is different because faith involves trust, that you, like Janelle said, you know, you're believing in something that has no proof, and in the case of faith in God, you're trusting that what He's promised through the Word and through Jesus is true. So I think it is different than hope. You know, I can hope that so-and-so goes to the Super Bowl or whatever, but that's different. This is a hope where you believe it is, you know it's assured in a way. The other thing I wanted to say about faith is that that's a gift from God. It's not something that we have because we're good people. The Bible tells us that faith is given to us as a gift from God, so it's something we need to be thankful for.
Yeah. Is that a hand? It's a half hand. This is right. This is a big question.
Faith is actually trusting that something's going to happen, whereas hope is the positive side of that only. I mean, you hope something's going to happen, but you're also putting in the doubt. The other side is just intuited. It may not go that way, whereas faith is more assured, I think this is true, I'm going for it.
So what I hear is, I hear that assuredness, and I hear a step of action. I'm going for it. So it's not just, it's that I'm going to proceed as if. I'm going to walk that direction. One or two more? What is faith? Way in the back.
Belief without proof.
Belief without proof. Okay. Diane, you going to share yours?
What? I just remember many years ago from a children's sermon, the minister trying to explain to kids how it's possible for there to be something and you've never seen it. And he said, I'll show it to you. And he pulled out a nut, a walnut or an almond, and said, you can't see it, but you believe that there is a walnut in here. And that has stuck with me.
Anyone else? What is faith? I think I'm with Jane. That faith, when we talk about faith, I didn't hear anybody talking about their list of their set of beliefs. I believe in one God, triune, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We're talking more about a statement of being. And that way I think faith is less something that we intellectualize and list out, and more something that we live and live into. I think the other thing that faith takes is faith takes letting go. Letting go of the concrete. Letting go of sometimes not, but sometimes letting go of the practical. Sometimes, and not always, letting go of the logical. But most of the time, letting go of control. Losing that control and placing a greater trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior than in anything else. For it is in Christ that we have this grace, and that nothing that happens in our future things can be outside of that grace. It is stewardship season, so I'll just put in a tiny bit about that, which is to confess that of all the places it's hardest for me to lose control over, money is probably it for me. I'll move where God wants me to move. I'll spend my time where God wants me to spend my time. I've given over my life to using my gifts and skills for God's work, but it's the treasure bit that I kind of still want to hold tight to. And so I'm preaching to myself this day, and really to any of us who have those fears of letting go of control. Maybe it's not money for you, but it's something else. But what is it that you are clinging so closely to that perhaps God is inviting that state of being of faith If we could really trust in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and to proceed as if that were absolutely true, then what action might you take? To close, I do have one more movie clip about the leap of faith. This comes from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. God, it's hard for us to take that leap of faith. But God, we also trust that when we take that leap, that you are there. And so help us to let go of our places of control, that we might find that your promises hold true, that you will always be there, that you promise us into the future that we cannot see. Help us to be like Abraham and Sarah and to walk forward in faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite us to sing one of those great hymns of faith, not just about the faith that's up here, but the faith of leaning and trusting, knowing that there are arms there to catch you and uphold you. I invite you to rise.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.